ġus, nsemmilkom u nilqakom għal program ieħor mis-sensiela Il-ħrejjef, l-erf u l-maġija. U illum fil-program għandna magħna żewġ mistednin, il-psikanalista Russa Dr. Didia Ukaneva u r-riċerkatur Taljan Dr. Vincenzo Darro u it-tnejn li huma se janalizzaw il-ħrejjef Russi. Għandna wkoll ħrafa Russa lis-saħrek. U fil-fatt, fil-verità, dawn il-ħrejjef Russi għandhom titjewis l-istess morali ta' dawk Ewropej. Il-karattri u n-nisġa tal-istorja huma differenti, iżda l-istejjer huma ftitjewis l-istess. Iżda rridu ngħidu wkoll li r-Russi trattaw il-ħrejjef tagħhom bħala divertiment aktar milli biex jagħtu talima. Dawn huma ħrejjef li ġejjin mill-passat, mill-antenati Slavi, bit-twemmin tagħhom u tradizzjonijiet tagħhom. Issa pereżempju l-elementi bħar-rieħ, l-ilma u n-nar daw kienu jittrattawhom. Isom donnhom għandhom xi ħaġa ħajja u kienu jemnu li kellhom il-maġija. Dik tajba, jiġifieri bajda, jew dik ħażina, jiġifieri sewda. Pereżempju l-ilma kienu jemnu li jagħti s-saħħa u l-ħajja. In-nar jeqret iżda wkoll jipproteġi, jippurifika. L-art kienet femminili u minnha joħorġu l-frott, il-ħxejjeġ. L-arja kienet meqjusa bħala xi ħadd li jaf jisma u jikkuntenta x-xewqat tal-bnedmin, però l-arja tista' tkun ukoll ħażina għaliex meqjusa bħala vjaġġatur arrieqi. Il-maġija kienet ukoll parti integrali mill-ħrejjef Russi, però nistgħu nkomplu għaddejjin nitkellmu dwarhom dal-affarijiet, però aħjar inħalli f'idejn l-esperti biex ikunu jistgħu janalizzaw. U hawnhekk se nħalli f'idejn il-psikanalista Russa Dr. Lidia Ukaneva biex tagħtina aktar informazzjoni dwar dan. U fil-fatt illum se nsemmalkom l-ewwel parti ta' din l-intervista. Dr. Lidia, welcome to the program. And I'm sure we're going to have a very interesting program today because you are going to talk about your skazka. Is that the name of the fairy tales in Russian?
Yes, exactly.
So why do you find them so interesting? Why do you find fairy tales so interesting?
So the fairy tales is the collection of the knowledge what the old generation is trying to send to the new generation. And on this matter, the information, the ethic, social ethic, personal ethic, relations towards life, the wisdom, how to deal with the world where we are, it's all encoded into the fairy tales. And I'm not much aware about the other cultural knowledge of the fairy tales, but in Russian fairy tales we have an amazing knowledge what now, even till modern life, till our days, children still can get it, they can absorb this knowledge and they can follow this knowledge.
So what are these Russian fairy tales about?
So in general, skazkas or the myth, mythic stories, it's all about some particular situation of some images, some personages, through whom we're discovering some qualities of life, qualities of being. And it's a simple way where we can accept this ethic or this knowledge. When we're talking about the academical knowledge or some propagandic knowledge, our mind have a lot of resistance. In a fairy tale's way, because it's funny, it's a jolly. It's sometimes we are crying, sometimes we are laughing, and through the emotional channel we are receiving this knowledge and we accepted this knowledge because we're becoming to be the part of the stories and this knowledge is integrated in our own mind.
So what are they about, really? Are they about giants, elves, fairies?
This side is also exist, but I'm very much interested about the simple fairy tales, like simple stories about casual people who are living their daily life and experiencing some miracles. Like, for example, one story is about how the old man went to the sea and coincidentally catch the golden fish. And the fish ask him to free her and offer the three wishes what she was ready to manifest for him. The old man was very, very easy man. And he said, I don't need actually anything. Just go and I'm happy if you will be free. When he came back, his wife was sitting in a poor house near the poor broken washing sink. And she, when he told her the story, she said, how stupid you are. You should go and ask this golden fish to bring a new sink. At least I can wash properly our clothes. So he came back. He asked, he called golden fish. He asked for that. And when he came back, he saw, yes, the his wife have a new sink for the washing. And she was still screaming at him and asking, why you ask just this stupid small thing? You should ask about a new house. And then it was going on.
Greedy woman, huh?
And then it was going on and on. And then she asked for the palace. And then she asked for the treasures. And then, in the end, she asked him to bring you into the position to be the goddess of the sea. And this goldfish should be her slave. So the man came to the sea and he called the golden fish, and the golden fish came to him and asked, what do you want this time? And he said, you know, my wife is so possessed now, so she wants to be the goddess of the sea, and and she wants you to enslave her. So the goldfish just looked at him, moved back to the sea, and never came. So he came home and he found his wife sitting in a poor house near the broken sink.
Oh my goodness me.
So it's just a very short explanation. The fairy tales is fantastic.
Very good.
So in that way, just to say, do not be greedy. Probably for many people it's not working. Because why shouldn't I? But when we know the story behind, like, the more you're greedy, the less you're getting.
It's true, eh? It's true.
So, and like this, we have many, many stories. We have another side of the stories, what have a healing effect. Some stories bringing the information, knowledgeable information, like, it's sort of have a medical side, like the information about the life water and the death water. So when you're using it, you're becoming to be more alive. Even if you, if the heroes of the fairy tales was killed, if someone using the life water, they resurrected. If someone using dead water, it's healing the injury. And I can tell you, being in a healing field for about 25 years, I found the parallel in the scientific world now, because in some healing schools, some healing methods, we're using the life water and the dead water, what is connected with the ionized structure of the molecules of the H2O, molecules of water. So, for example, like the ozone H2O2 have a healing effect, and when the water is ozonated, we can use it to restore the blood circulation, to heal the injuries. And if it's a heavy water, it have an opposite effect.
So is this the link between fairy tales and your medical field?
Exactly. So I fascinate about it because it's like our ancestors from very, very ancient time, was trying to send to us the message, the knowledge, how to deal with this life, how to deal with ourselves. In this time, they didn't write the books. So, or even the books can be destroyed by centuries, by circumstances. So, they created the fairy tales, and they kindly sending to us the into the age of the technical progress, computerizing, the knowledge, simple knowledge, how to deal with the world where we are.
Very, very interesting. Now, we know also that in fairy tales, normally there's a lot of symbolism, and there are a lot of archetypes, and, well, I feel that these are really fascinating. In fact, as adults, I think this is what, you know, this is like for us a reinterpretation of these fairy tales. What do you think about this?
I was working with the in the field of transpersonal psychology also for over 20 years, and I found each of us have archetypal belonging. So Gustav Jung wrote a lot of books about it, and in a daily practice, we can see these archetypes everywhere. Like we have archetypes of a man and a woman. So we are all different, but we still belong only to these two archetypes. We can have we're following the archetype of being a child or being the old person. Some people saying, oh, look, this man, his postures look like a king. So this is the archetype is coming through this person. Or we're saying, this woman behaving like she's the queen. And sometimes on a negative matter, sometimes on a positive matter. So this is like the archetype, the pattern of our behavior, pattern of our even constitution, body constitution, is imprinted in us. And the fairy tales helping us to recognize this archetype in ourselves through the simple stories. Like one of the best hero of the fairy tales in many, many different cultural traditions is the fool. Because only the fool can joke about the king. So in our daily life, people are afraid to be a fool and they think, oh, how foolish it is. But actually, it's one of the best positions psychotherapeutically and psychologically.
Exactly, it's, because you can be yourself.
Exactly. So, the person who can joke about himself or herself cannot be put down. So it's very healthy. Like, for example, I'm living in Malta in the last 15 years, and I found your nation is very psychologically very healthy. Why? Because you can joke about yourself. The nation, what can joke about itself, without any chauvinistic ideas, is a very healthy-minded nation.
Mela dikinet l-ewwel parti tal-intervista li għamilna ma' Dr. Lidja Ukaneva, pero it-tieni parti tixxandar fil-programm li jmiss. Issa nistgħu nqasmu l-ħrejja f'russi fi tliet gruppi, dawk tal-annimali, dawk li jsejħu Tales of Manners u dawk mitoloġiċi. Bħal f'ħafna ħrejjef ta' kulturi oħrajn, il-volpi huwa wieħed mill-aktar annimali popolari f'dawn il-ħrejjef, kif se naraw f'din ir-rafa Russa, The Little Daughter of the Snow. There was once an old man and his wife who lived in a little house in a village on the edge of the forest. They were unhappy because they had no children. They used to stand for hours just peeping through their window to watch the children of the village playing in the snow, laughing and shouting, making snow women. The man said to the woman, "Wife, let us go into the yard and make a snow girl. Perhaps she will come alive and be a little daughter to us." "Husband," said the old woman, "there's no knowing what may be. Let us go into the yard and make a little snow girl." So the couple put on their big coats and hats and began to make a little snow girl. They rolled up the snow to make her little arms and legs. They wanted their snow girl to be more beautiful than a birch tree in spring. Towards the evening she was finished, a little girl, all snow, with blind white eyes and a tiny mouth, with snow lips tightly closed. "Oh, speak to us," said the man. "Won't you run about like the other children, little white pigeon?" said the woman. Suddenly, in the twilight, they saw the Snow Girl's eyes shining blue like the sky on a clear day. Her lips flushed and opened, and she smiled. And there were her little white teeth. She had black hair that stared in the wind. She began dancing wildly in the snow, like snowflakes whirling in the wind. She tossed her long hair, and she started to laugh softly to herself. Her eyes shone, and she sang as the couple watched. This was her song. "In my veins no warm blood glows, only icy water flows. Yet I'll laugh and sing and play by frosty night and frosty day, little daughter of the snow. But this I do know, when you love me very little then, I shall melt away again. Back into the sky I'll go, little daughter of the snow."
"Isn't she beautiful?" said the man. "Run, wife, and get a blanket to wrap her in."
The woman got a blanket and put it around the shoulders of the little Snow Girl. The man picked the Snow Girl up, and she put her little cold arms around his neck. "You must not keep me too warm," she said. Well, the couple took her into their small house. She lay on a bench in the corner farthest from the stove, while the woman made her a little coat. The old man went to a neighbor and bought a fur hat and a pair of red boots for her. They dressed the little Snow Girl. "She is all our own," said the woman.
"Our little white pigeon," said the man.
In the evening, she ate another bowl of ice and went off again to play by herself in the yard. She did everything the woman told her, only she would never sleep indoors. All the children of the village loved her. They did not know how they had ever played without her. One day they went too far into the woods. When the other children said they were going to turn back, the little Snow Girl tossed her head and ran on among the trees. The other children were afraid to follow her. It was getting dark. They ran home, holding each other's hands. Afraid, she called out, "Little friends, have pity on the Snow Girl." A big brown bear heard her and came tramping up to the tree on his heavy paws.
"What are you crying about, little daughter of the snow?"
"Oh, big bear," said the little Snow Girl, "I have lost my way, and darkness is coming. All my friends are gone."
"I will take you home," said the big brown bear.
"Oh, big bear," said the little Snow Girl, "I'm afraid of you. I think you will eat me. I would rather go home with someone else." So the bear left her. A grey wolf wanted to take her home, but she only trusted the red fox. "Oh, what has become of our little Snow Girl? Oh, where is our little white pigeon?"
"Here I am," said the Snow Girl. "The kind red fox has brought me home. You must shut up the dogs so that they don't harm the fox."
So the man shut up the dogs.
"We are very grateful to you," he said to the fox.
"Are you really?" said the red fox. "I am very hungry."
"Here is a nice piece of bread for you," said the old woman.
"Oh,"
said the fox,
"I would like a plump hen. After all, your little Snow Girl is worth a plump hen."
"Very well," said the old woman. But she said to her husband, "We have our little girl again. It seems a waste to give away a plump hen."
"It does," said the old man.
The old woman told him what she meant to do. He went to get two sacks. In one sack they put a plump hen, and in the other they put their fiercest dog. They took the bags outside and called the fox. He came up to them, licking his lips because he was hungry. They opened one sack, and the hen fluttered out. The red fox was just about to grab her when they opened the other sack, and out jumped the fierce dog. The poor fox saw the dog's eyes flashing in the dark, and he was so frightened that he ran back into the forest without eating the hen.
"That was well done,"
said the couple. "We have our little snow girl, and did not give away our plump hen." Then they heard the little snow girl singing in the small house.
"Old ones, old ones, now I know you love me less than a hen. I shall go away again. Goodbye, ancient ones, goodbye. Back I go across the sky to my mother and father, little daughter of the snow."
The couple ran into the house. There were a pool of water in front of the stove, a fair hat, a little coat, and tiny red boots. It seemed to the man and woman that they saw the snow girl with their bright eyes and long hair dancing in the room.
"Do not go! Do not go!" they begged.
But they couldn't see the little dancing girl. They could only hear her laughing and singing.
"Old ones, old ones, now I know, less you love me than a hen, I shall melt away again. Away I go, little daughter of the snow."
And just then the door blew open. A cold wind filled the room, and the little daughter of the snow was gone. She jumped into the arms of Frost, her father, and Snow, her mother, and they carried her away over the stars to the far north. There she plays all through the summer on the frozen seas. In winter she comes back to Russia, and some day, when you are making a snow woman, you may find the little daughter of the snow standing there instead.
Nittama li dik il-ħrafa oġbitkom. Issa, il-morfoloġija tal-ħrejjef u xogħol analitiku ta' Vladimir Prop, fejn dan il-kittieb janalizza l-funzjoni ta' kull karattru. Skont Prop, hemm tmien karattri prinċipali, u kull ħrafa hija diviża f'wieħed u tletin element. Trix naraw se jgħidilna Dr. Vincenzo Darro dwar dan.
Allora, quando noi parliamo della fiaba, no? Fin da piccoli siamo abituati, i nostri genitori ci raccontano una fiaba. Ma la fiaba, diciamo così, in realtà in passato non era rivolta solo ai bambini. Cioè la fiaba in realtà doveva veicolare un valore morale, etico, ok? Un insegnamento. Pensiamo a Esopo, pensiamo a Fedro. Diciamo che con l'evolversi però mai nessuno ha studiato in una maniera sistematica, mettendo in parallelo diverse fiabe. Uno dei primi studiosi che l'ha fatto è Vladimir Prop, che è questo studioso russo, che purtroppo il mondo occidentale ha scoperto tardi, nel senso, lui fa questa morfologia della favola nel 1928, la prima traduzione, quindi i primi testi che escono fuori dal mondo russo, sono del 58. Quindi per 30 anni nessuno conosceva Prop. E la cosa interessante è che lui è il primo a non sottolineare i punti, le differenze tra le diverse storie. Lui cerca i punti di contatto, per questo si chiama morfologia. E la cosa interessante è che lui vede come unità minima all'interno della favola, okay, la funzione. Lui riconosce diverse funzioni, per la precisione 31, ovviamente non mi dilungo a dirle tutte quante, però è la cosa interessante che lui rapporti i personaggi della favola al compito che hanno. Principalmente lo individuo 8 personaggi, perché hanno dei compiti differenti. Allora c'è l'eroe, c'è l'antieroe, il cattivo, c'è l'aiutante dell'eroe, che in certi casi coincide anche col mandante, colui che invita l'eroe a intervenire. Poi c'è la principessa, che in certe storie può essere la principessa, in certi altri può essere un tesoro, cioè l'obiettivo da raggiungere. Di solito c'è sempre un padre della principessa. Ok? E poi ci sono, come dicevo, i rispettivi aiutanti, sia dell'eroe, sia del cattivo. Ok? La cosa interessante è che Prop influenzerà anche un antropologo del calibro di Claude Lévi-Strauss, filosofo e antropologo, che lui farà degli studi sulle popolazioni del Brasile. E rivedendo, diciamo così, lo studio di Prop, prenderà degli spunti, perché ovviamente Claude Lévi-Strauss si concentra sul mito, che poi guardate che il mito in realtà e la favola sono collegate. diciamo, il mito ha una funzione per, diciamo così, sottolineare la storia di una nazione, di un popolo, ed è legata alla sfera religiosa. Ma in realtà la fiaba è un mito in miniatura, perché comunque c'è sempre un insegnamento e una valenza morale. Ci sono tantissimi miti, anche in Platone, in altri filosofi. La fiaba, diciamo così, è veicolare un insegnamento con un linguaggio più accessibile. La cosa interessante di Prop è che lui, vedendo i punti di contatto tra le diverse storie, praticamente lui capisce che, indipendentemente dal contesto dove viene elaborata quella storia, lui ovviamente studia le favole russe, perché ovviamente lui è russo, però il suo schema oggi viene attuato al cinema, al teatro, alla letteratura.
Tama li l-lum ukoll għajemnilkom biżejjed kurzita biex tkomplu tirriċerkaw u taqraw. Fil-programm li jmiss se nisimgħu t-tieni parti tal-intervista ma' Dr. Lidja Ukaneva dwar l-effett katartiku tal-ħrejjef Russi. U se nisimgħu ħrafa Russa mid-isbaħ li ġiet tradotta bil-Malti u jisimha Vasilissa. Sakemm nerġgħu niltaqgħu għal-programm ieħor il-ħrejjef l-Erf u l-Maġija, jiena Margita Jus insemmilkom.